Welcome to Quirky Love, Embracing Our Autism Journey. I'm your host, Celeste Easter, and excited to embark upon this series with you. Well, hello, hello, beautiful people. Welcome. This is podcast, we're going to say zero, because this isn't the official setup, but it's time to get started. I'm so excited to be releasing the book, Quirky Love, Embracing Our Autism Journey, and that is being done in conjunction with this podcast. This is going to be a place where we can, just talk, discuss. I have two sons. First, my name is Celeste Easter. Make sure I get that in. I have two sons. I call them Trey and Joe. They are 18 and 14 respectively, both on the autism spectrum. And it's really been a journey that we've had to embrace, because I've really had to become an advocate and a fierce mom to get them the services that they needed, but to also deal with like a lot of the things that are just kind of inherent sometimes in our community and in our families, to like overcome that. So that's what this first one was about, like dealing with labels and the diagnosis. And you know, I grew up in an era and in a community and a family, if Jesus or Oprah couldn't fix it, you know, it just didn't need to be fixed. It was, you had bigger problems to deal with. So you didn't have a lot of talk about therapy, psychology, you know, counseling. There wasn't, you know, discussions around autism. Like, you know, for me, I know I'm so ADD, and you know, but in back then, there wasn't a diagnosis. I just, first quarter I did great because everything was new. Second quarter I had to get a whooping because I was running my mouth and doing the absolutely most. Third quarter I was going to be back straight. Fourth quarter, somewhere in between there, had to get a whooping, get it all pulled together. And my mom worked for the school, and this is back, you know, in the early 80s, where you can get whipped by the teacher, by your parent, by, you know, you're going to get a few whoopings. And so I discovered, you know, that isn't always the answer. Like, just, I'm just going to whoop you, or we just going to bring you to the altar and pray, lay hands over you. And I'm not saying that prayer doesn't work. I'm not saying that laying on hands doesn't work. I'm not saying that there are, you know, all of these other things don't work. What I'm saying is that there was just a mentality that I had to overcome. And I think it was almost a desperation that was on the inside of me, that it did not matter to me what you wanted to call it, label it, diagnose it, whatever. I needed someone to help me help my sons. I knew that I was seeing a gap. It didn't matter to me that the school was saying, oh, they're doing great academically. You know, if they're not struggling academically, there's nothing that we can necessarily do in order to help them. That wasn't an answer for me, because I still was looking at the situation and understanding that there is a gap. There is where I believe that they should be, from a level of social skills and a level of life functioning skills, and then there's where they are. And so I walked into the situation like always kind of really addressing the fact that, look, you're quirky. There's nobody normal. Yeah, please introduce me to a normal person. Everybody has quirks. And I understand that when we're talking about nonverbal, verbal, I'm not trying to lessen anything in a situation that someone may be having physically, but it is still to just express that there is no normal when it comes to human beings. There are gaps that we experience in some way, form. Some you can see, some you can't see, some you know about, some we lie about. It is just human nature. That's how I teach my kids. That's what I tell them. So once I really got past realizing that, I'm not really worried about what you want to call it. It could be autism. You can tell me it's Asperger's. Tell me. I want you to tell me. Because if you tell me, then I can get information that can help them. I care about how the people I love process. One, that they're going to be able to process my love. Two, that I'm going to be able to have communication with them and make sure that they're understanding and that they're processing what I'm teaching them. So if I'm telling you to do something over and over in a task that it seems like to me should be really simplistic, you wake up, you go to the bathroom, then you brush your teeth. And I'm seeing that over and over, like, these things aren't necessarily happening, or things aren't necessarily connecting the way that I think that they should be connecting. Then that's where my desperation came from, in just having no answers, having little information to go by, not being able to get them tested at school. Often with the schools, they were just interested in testing them from an IQ perspective, or to determine, you know, like, how smart they are. But when it came down to me saying, like, hey, but I'm seeing some, like, other gaps and some situations and things that are happening that don't necessarily line up to what I've been teaching and what I'm saying, it wasn't sufficient for me that there were no answers. So this book is about embracing our journey. This book is about, you know, it just gives you some of our stories. This podcast is where I will lay it on the line. I will tell you what it is. We will laugh about some of the situations. In one of those, I can tell you, before I got both of my sons tested, I was studying professional counseling. I have a master's in professional counseling. And I was studying and I was reading the book. And as I was reading the book and going through, like, the sections around autism, I'm looking at it going, my sons are autistic. So I call my girlfriend, who is a counselor, and I'm like, I'm reading a book and I'm looking at this, and I really believe that my sons are autistic. And she was like, yeah, I've thought that for some time, but I didn't tell you because wasn't sure how you were going to be receptive of it. So that's one major thing that we can probably talk on for a while. And I can speak on that, like, definitely from the Black community, that sometimes there, again, you have this whole issue of, like, don't label my child and don't say this about my child because I decree and declare. And yes, that is all things that are good and we can do. However, I still need to understand what is going to be the best thing I need to do for my child, because one day the plan is that I will grow old and I will leave them here on this earth, but I need them to be able to function on their own. And I wasn't always there. When they were little, I was just really kind of just filling in the gaps and doing a lot of the things, and really kind of afraid almost of letting them do too much, because I still knew, like, I don't know if he'll be capable of that. I don't know if he'll be able to do that part, just because I see these other patterns and things that are happening at home. And I'll never forget, I had a coworker. She had an older son at the time. My sons were still fairly little, 4 or 5. Her son was 17, and he was learning how to drive. And she was just saying, like, what a challenge it was with, you know, dealing with him driving, that he was on the spectrum, and that, you know, he'd have to take a break sometimes. He was overwhelmed by it, but, you know, and I was like, I don't even know if I could even fathom letting either one of my sons drive at this point, just based on what I'm seeing. And we kind of giggled, and she was like, you know, let him get older. But more than anything, she shared with me, Celeste, I have to make sure that I give him all of this space to really develop and grow, because one day I won't be here to take care of him, and I don't want him to not be able to take care of himself. And that spoke volumes to me. One, it just kind of made my heart, it, like, just made my heart drop at just the thought of, like, you know what? It is my job to make sure that for every day and every moment that I'm in your life, that I'm giving you all I have, because I'm not promised tomorrow, and I don't know when I will leave this earth. But I do hope that all of the lessons and all of the things that I can put in and pour into them will remain, and that they'll understand how much I love them, and they will be able to survive and be productive, not just survive, but thrive and be productive, efficient citizens in this world. So that really began my journey of understanding, I have to be the advocate then. If the schools won't test them, I got on the phone with the insurance companies. I started calling psychiatrists and psychologists. I started calling resource centers. I started going on Facebook, on Google, and I began to find out, like, what I need to do in order to get testing done for my son outside of the school system. And so by this point, they're a little bit older, and now I'm still seeing that there are some gaps. And I'll go into detail in the Trey story and Joe's story in other podcasts. But this one, again, was just about understanding that the label, once I got the information, it really didn't matter because it was the information. I can remember sitting in an office with the principal and the teacher. You know what? As crazy as Trey's childbirth was in labor, and we could talk about that in Trey's story. As crazy as that was, what did not hold anything to that? What was crazier than that was those agendas we were getting from the school. That's really where the heart palpitation started coming in at. That smiley face or that frowny face. And I was getting a lot of frowny faces. And ooh, it was stressing me out, y'all. Like, because I'm not understanding all the things. Like, he can't keep still in class. He's doing this. He's doing that. And these are things that, like, he's not doing at home with me. Like, and let me correct that. He was doing some of those things at home. I just was more strict and almost just trying to use fear to stop some of the behaviors that I was seeing. But that wasn't working, because when he was able to be in his own element, he would revert back to like what were his quirks if I wasn't there to be able to like, no, yes, no, don't. So it really wasn't that I didn't see it at home. It was that I controlled it so much in a way that he had to go along to my orders. But when he got to school and there weren't, you know, all of these rules and regulations and a mom that could, some other stuff started showing up. Lots of these things are happening. So I'm in the conference room and I'm in tears because I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget the principal at the time. She such a beautiful woman, and she just told me, it's gonna be okay. We're gonna figure this out. We're going to get him the help that he needs. And that's all I can remember that I kept saying, just help me help my son. I don't care what you want to call it, label it, name it. Help me help my son. And that started the journey. That started where I did find another office, a psychiatrist's office that would work with our healthcare insurance, and was able to get them tested. And baby, I had that piece of paper running back to the school. Like, I mean, yes. And I ran home and I read through every page and every book they recommended. I wanted to get those books, and I am going to list a lot of those resources for you so that you have access to everything I have had access to. And that is what this entire platform for Quirky Love is. It is here to be able to hopefully inspire, share, talk, discuss, vent, laugh, cry, do it all together as we raise our kiddos with special needs. A lot of times people don't necessarily say disabilities. They have t-shirts that say special abilities. My sons have t-shirts that said being autistic is my superpower. But I've always made sure just to tell them, hey baby, you're quirky. Everybody else is quirky. And it is just a matter of loving us in our quirkiness, loving us in our skin, loving us where we are. Doesn't mean that we don't work to get better, but it does mean that I'm loving me enough to see and do the work, and to see and recognize and celebrate, and then jump back in and do the work. And that's what happened. And so then even when I would have people that would question me, well, why do you say they're autistic? Because they're on the spectrum. That's what the paper said. And now I have resources that can help me help my sons. And then as I apply these resources and these tools, I'm beginning to see success, that there are things that I never thought that they would possibly be able to do that they're doing now. And just watching my oldest being independent as a freshman and living on campus, and watching my youngest graduate from speech therapy, and he's speaking in plays, and just really stepping up and using his voice at a point in time when once he was just so concerned about stuttering and not being able to stay focused. You know, I see the progress. I see what's worked, and I want to share that. Another component of this is also that I want to be an advocate. advocate, and I want to partner with organizations and corporations, because I do recognize that if we do not start doing the work now to determine how we will find the right pathways for them to be successful in jobs, whether that's corporate entrepreneurship, there are so many things we need to provide and create a pathway for that's also what we're going to be talking about. So that's where your information, your stories, and your help and support will come in and make such a difference. This all has been still wrapped around win, lose, always learning. And that is because one thing I do tell my sons, fail forward. You're going to take some risk and you will fail. You will make mistakes, but fail forward. Fail going in the right direction. Failing forward means to learn the lesson, because we will not always win. I did not always win. There were so many times that I felt like I tried something with the boys, whether a certain checklist or a certain resource, a reward board or something, did not work. I felt like I lost some. But guess what? Out of every situation, I was still taking the bits and the pieces that I could get from it. I was always learning. And I believe that it is critical that we begin to still understand I will win sometimes and I will lose sometimes, but I am always learning. Success comes in because I'm always learning. That's the steps that lead to success. So this is just the introduction. I just wanted to jump out here, like I said, number zero, and just to kind of let you know, we are going to talk about our journey. We are going to talk about some really funny stories. I want to be able to answer your questions. I want to be able to talk to you and get to know you. And this journey is ongoing. This journey is funny. It's sometimes sad. It's sometimes disheartening. Sometimes it's hard as ever. But I know the diagnosis can feel like a storm. So when I tell you, don't get caught up in the diagnosis, get caught up in the process and the resources. I mean that with everything in my heart. Okay. So thank you for joining me today. I look forward to walking this path together, sharing our stories, resources, and you know what? A whole lot of heart. I want everybody to be amazing every single day because you can. All right? Bye-bye. This is Celeste Easter. Thank you for embracing our autism journey with us. Stay tuned for our next episode. Definitely go ahead and subscribe so that you can receive notifications as well and when our next episode is out. And listen, you're not alone. Together, let's embrace the quirks, the challenges, and the beautiful moments. Take care, beautiful people.